This is the Venturing Angler Podcast, sponsored by Nautilus Reels. In this episode, we'll be chatting with Tad Howard of Colorado Trout Hunters about the amazing fly fishing opportunities not too far from Denver. Let's talk to Tad Howard. Okay, we're here with Tad Howard of Colorado Trout Hunters, based in the Denver metro area. Tad guides a number of rivers within a couple of hours or so of Denver. There is amazing trout fishing not too far from Denver. Tad, what are some of the waters that are pretty accessible for folks visiting or living in Denver?
You know, Denver's a really cool place. You can fly into Denver International Airport. Within 2 hours, you have just a ton of different options. Everything from the small waters and the High Lakes, Rocky Mountain National Park, to dozens of different Front Range creeks, to a lot of different tailwaters below dams, both on the South Platte and the Blue. And, you know, you've got great Freestone Creek fishing on the Front Range and, you know, on the West Slope over in the Eagle. And we can even, you know, get up into teeny tiny little creeks, private waters where you pay landowners for access. And so there's just a whole lot of diversified fishing within half an hour to a couple hours of downtown Denver.
So some of those options reveal a huge difference in opportunities. I mean, Rocky Mountain National Park, you see big towering mountains and a small winding kind of creek style fishing on the Big Thompson.
Sure. Yeah, the appeal to Rocky Mountain National Park is really the setting. The scenery in the setting up there is spectacular. The fishing can be really good. It's typically going to be small fish, and it does get a lot of angling pressure in the summer, but it's definitely a unique destination from just a really scenery perspective.
Have you seen a lot of wildlife when you're fishing there?
Incredible elk viewing. You've got moose. You've got, I mean, just a ton of different deer. A lot of wildlife viewing there, as well as a lot of other areas we got. We typically, not every trip, but we typically do see a lot of diversified species of wildlife, both, you know, mammals, birds, everything when we're out on the water.
Just yesterday we saw antelope, buffalo, muskrat, and there's probably some more.
Some waterfowl.
Yeah, exactly. You guide a lot in the South Platte.
I would call the South Platte and its tributaries our home water. Everything from the headwaters down to the tailwaters as they go into Denver. It's really a pretty and amazing fishery considering its proximity to Denver and how diverse the different sections of it are. The South Platte really has a lot of different faces, and they can all fish really, really well. Timing's kind of a big factor on the Platte, but almost any time of year you can get out and somewhere on the river have good fishing.
So what are some of these different sections? I've noticed that people generally will identify a section before they use the word South Platte.
Sure.
Because they're famous in their own right.
Sure. There's three forks of the South Platte, three main stems. There's the North Fork of the South Platte, which is a small creek originally, and then it's become famous for its private ranches, and it's fed by the Roberts Tunnel, which pulls water from the West Slope out of Lake Dillon. And so the North Fork, then there's the Middle Fork that goes through Fairplay. And the Middle Fork meets the South Fork, which comes from the mountains out south of Fairplay, and they meet, goes into Antero Reservoir, comes out of Antero Reservoir, meets the Middle Fork near Hartzell, and then it flows into Spinney Mountain Reservoir. The reservoirs themselves are fantastic fisheries, and the tailwaters and situational fishing you get around those reservoirs makes some fantastic fishing. As the Platte, South Fork of the Platte comes out of Spinney Reservoir, it goes into what we call the Dream Stream nickname. It's the South Platte between Spinney and 11 Mile Reservoir. 11 Mile Reservoir is another fantastic fishing reservoir. Comes out of 11 Mile Reservoir near the town of Lake George, and then it proceeds to go down into Cheeseman Reservoir, which the famous Cheeseman Canyon's below there. We typically guide the area around Deckers downstream of that. And then the South Fork meets the North Fork in the town of South Platte, and then it flows down into Strauchess Spring Reservoir and eventually Chatfield Reservoir, and gets dispersed to small reservoirs in the Denver metro water districts.
That's terrific. And I would say each of those sections has its own character. And
yeah, absolutely. There's every single spot you can catch fish, right to even in Denver. Every single reservoir has good fishing. Fish move in and out of the reservoirs, and then the tailwaters that the Platte creates have fantastic fishing due to the, stable year-round water temps and generally consistent flows.
And that, and because of that, most of them are great year-round fisheries too.
Yeah, they can be, absolutely. It's somewhat stream flow dependent and weather dependent, but we're very, very lucky here to have consistent 12-month-a-year fishing.
And what would you say is the distance from Denver I guess the Dream Stream is about 2 hours away.
A little over 2 hours, yep. And the closest fishing would just be, the Platte either below or above Chatfield Reservoir. And that's, from downtown Denver, 15, 20 minutes. We do have some other locations that we guide, smaller creeks and stuff on the Front Range that are also in that, half hour range from downtown Denver. So it's pretty, there's a lot of easily accessible fishing from downtown Denver. And then when you get into that 45 minute to hour and a half range from the city, it really opens up a whole world of angling opportunities for people.
I would often think back to one of the best caddis hatch fishing experiences I've ever had was on Bear Creek, just in the foothills as you start to leave Denver. So
absolutely,
there's great fishing everywhere. And I've seen recently that there's a new carp scene, I think, too.
There's a bunch of folks. Chris Galvin, one of our guides, is very, very into the carp fishing. There's definitely a subset of anglers. It's been around and kind of brewing for a while, for probably 10 years or so. But there's definitely more and more anglers that are more and more serious about targeting carp with fly rods. And they do that on the Platte right through downtown Denver, all low water, and, as well as area ponds and reservoirs. And the carp fishing can be really, really fun and really productive. What's really cool is when you catch them on dry flies.
I bet. That's awesome. A lot of people are attracted to the private waters that are not too far from Denver.
Sure.
So some of those are on the North Fork.
There's several different properties on the North Fork. Those are probably the most prestigious properties for sure that we, as far as notable, as far as, people come from different destinations to fish. And then we have tons of other different private access around the state. Everything from alpine lakes to little creeks to, kind of meandering ranches. So there's definitely a lot of both public and private opportunities for anglers.
You mentioned the Blue River, and the Blue River is a pretty diverse river. I think it might be best known for the fishing behind outlet malls.
Yeah, absolutely. Silverthorne's a really neat little town. It's got, fantastic fishing in a pretty urban environment. you can go shopping and within 3 minutes be catching trout. So it's really kind of neat. It comes out of Lake Dillon. And there's, a couple miles right there in town that are very easily accessible for anglers and give anglers the opportunity to catch big fish.
And then there's other great areas downstream of that.
Yeah, absolutely. There's public and private access along the Blue all the way down to its confluence with the Colorado River.
You also, there's something that I think that doesn't get enough attention, at least in communication, in conversations, which is probably a good thing for the fisheries, is these high mountain lakes. There are gems to be found.
Absolutely. So any anglers that want a different experience, the problem with high mountain lakes is there's hundreds and hundreds of them in Colorado. And they're fantastic fisheries. One is weather, the high alpine stuff. Most of the good ones you have to hike into a ways, and if you don't get a really early start with kind of any alpine type hiking, you can get yourself into some pretty treacherous weather situations. The other is, too, you're at very high altitude, and most of the good ones you do have to do some hiking for. So from a physical fitness standpoint, there definitely eliminates a lot of folks from being able to do that. That being said, there are some very accessible alpine lakes where people can go. Most of the accessible ones have typically a lot of fish, but not very big fish. But, you know, the cutthroat fishing in Colorado's alpine lakes can be spectacular. They're often fairly difficult to catch. And, you know, you have to put in a lot of work. You earn every one you catch.
And they're often beautiful fish and beautiful settings. But do be careful. I actually got lost once myself, encountered a bear, and didn't make it out till the next day. So plan accordingly.
Yeah, definitely you want to be prepared when you're heading into those situations.
I've known you for a long time. You've been guiding for a long time. What is your favorite thing about guiding?
The people you meet, for sure. I think when you're young fishing, you know, catching a lot of fish and big fish is always like the fishing starts out as being the important part. As you get older and older and experience more and more stuff, it's, you know, getting to meet and know and become friends with people from just so many different walks of life that kind of all come together with a shared enthusiasm for a sport. And I think that's really the special part about fly fishing and guiding.
That's great. Have there been any memorable trips that have stood out over the years?
There's been a lot of memorable trips over the years, both good and bad. But but there's definitely you get to meet some great people. And, you know, there's always those super memorable fish that, you know, kind of can make a day special that you remember for a lot longer.
Great. Planning considerations for someone coming from outside of the Denver area. What should someone consider, even with time of year? Are there any big hatches that might draw people in, flies and gear to bring?
So basically, you know, Denver is really easy from almost anywhere in the country to catch a flight to Denver. So it's a very accessible area. Most folks just rent a car. And, you know, once you have a car in the Denver area, you have just a bunch of different options. As far as the fishing goes, timing wise, spring and fall are hands down when we catch most of our really big fish. So people that are real serious about targeting big fish should look at spring and fall, and usually early in the spring and late in the fall are the best times. The one wild card with that is weather. You know, spring and fall, the weather is a factor. So if you're a fair weather fisherman, you might want to sacrifice some big fish and go for the summer. Really, we've got so many options that, you know, if you're out in the summer, we can almost always move you around and find good fishing. And so basically, we typically have good, you know, consistent stream flows till early May. And then by mid to late June, you'll have the water coming down. So you'll get a really good fishing window late June, July. This year, August and September look fantastic because we've got so much water. Some years, August can get a little dicey with warm water situations. And then September after Labor Day, you know, kids are back in school and the leaves start changing, and that's a real special time of year to be in the mountains.
The aspen trees, when they turn, it's...
Yeah, it's very cool.
Absolutely gorgeous. Most of the fishing is on five weights, except maybe...
Yeah, generally speaking, day in and day out, we're using 9 foot four and five weights for 95%+ of our fishing. Some of the small creeks and stuff will occasionally break out some ultralight gear just to kind of keep it a little more sporty. But for the most part, 9 foot five weight gets the job done day in and day out.
Terrific. And then with flies, if you look around the Rocky Mountain West, Colorado stands out in some ways because people swear by size 24 RS2s and small midges and emergers, and it seems like tiny is the ticket, especially on the South Platte.
You know, it's got the reputation for that. It's a pretty rare day I put anything smaller than a size 20 on the line. So it's a little bit of a misnomer, but, you know, small flies can definitely have their place in every fly box, but often they're unnecessary. I would consider, you know, Colorado a special place for flies because it's got so many fantastic fly tires and fly innovators here. Colorado's really been responsible, you know, for just just dozens and dozens of cool patterns that have come out of this state, hundreds of cool patterns. And, you know, I definitely think some of the most innovative tires in the West reside in Colorado.
It's true. And even driving through other mountain states recently, asking a fly shop what to get, you hear names of Colorado tires.
Absolutely. Over and over again. Yeah, you've got John Barr, Charlie Craven, I mean, Pat Dorsey. They've all been extremely influential and innovative over the years.
I even saw in Montana a Copper John flavored beer. They called it Copper John style, I think, after John Barr's Copper John. Tad, thanks for the conversation. For those interested in hearing more and learning more and seeing some really gorgeous fish, check out ColoradoTroutHunters.com. And Tad, thanks again.
Oh, well, thank you, Tim. It's been a pleasure.